بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, the month of August is commemorated as Women's Month in South Africa. The commemoration of Women's Month has no Islamic or religious significance and has no basis in our deen. However, there is no harm in using this period during which the prevailing discussion is on women's rights to remind ourselves and to educate other communities of the unprecedented and the pioneering role that Islam played in the restoration of women's dignity and women's rights. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not confine raising awareness of women's rights to only 1 month or 1 day in the year. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used some of the most significant occasions in his life to raise awareness around the status of women in Islam. On the momentous occasion of Hajjatul Wada and during the iconic farewell sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi was addressing the entire ummah as an audience, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used that iconic moment to raise awareness around the dignity of women and the status of women in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the ummah and he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ لِنِسَائِكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَقَّا وَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِنَّ حَقٍّ. Indeed, your women have rights over you and you too have rights over them. Further on, in the same historical khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized what he said earlier. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. And indeed, I order you to be good to the women. وَإِنَّكُمْ إِنَّمَا أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانَةِ اللَّهِ. You have taken them only as a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is an amanah in your care. As a father, that daughter is an amanah in your home. As a husband, the wife is an amanah in your home. Who does that amanah belong to? You are the trustee. Allah is the owner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question you with regards to how you treated the trust that he had left in your care. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning women, وَاسْتَوْصُوا بِهِنَّ خَيْرًا. And I demand good treatment of women. No other religion, no other culture, no other system awarded such recognition and awarded such honor to women the way Islam had done 14 centuries ago. More than 14 centuries ago. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, كُنَّا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ لَا نَعُدُّ النِّسَاءَ شَيْئًا. He says, during the pre-Islamic era, before the arrival of Islam, we did not have any regard. We did not consider any worth that is attached to women. She was a non-entity in the community and in the society. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ الْإِسْلَامِ. Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, but when Islam arrived, وَذَكَرَهُنَّ اللَّهِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made special mention of women in the Quran, he says, then we realize that لَهُنَّ عَلَيْنَا حَقَّ, that indeed women have rights over others. Islam gave women financial rights. Islam is the system that gave women financial independence. Over 1400 years ago, a woman could earn money, a woman could own property, a woman could trade, a woman could invest, and no one, not even her husband, could touch her money or touch her assets, touch her property. While in a country like France, women were not allowed to open a bank account. She was not allowed to open a bank account without the husband's permission until the year 1965. The Talmud is a foundational Jewish text, and a commentary of the Torah describes the financial situation of a woman as follows. How can a woman have anything? This is stated in the Jewish text known as the Talmud. How anything? Whatever is hers belongs to her husband. What is his, and what is hers is also his. This primary Jewish religious text further states her earnings and what she may find in the streets are also his. The household articles, even the crumbs of bread on the table, are his. And on the other hand, what did the Quran declare with regards to the property of a woman, let alone the property that she owned through inheritance or the property that was given to her as a gift? The Quran declares with regards to the property and the gifts and the items that were given husband. The Quran says, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَأْخُذُوا مِمَّا آتَيْتُمُونَ. It is not lawful for you, husbands. It is haram for you to take back anything given to your wives. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states and declares with regard to the property and the wealth of a woman, لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, men have the portion they have earned. Whatever you have earned through your hard work, through your labor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is yours, it belongs to you. وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. And women have the portion they have earned. Belongs to her. Now our purpose is not to denigrate Judaism or Christianity. Our purpose is not to unfairly criticize these religions, because we as Muslims believe in the divine origins of both Christianity and Judaism. But our goal is to vindicate Islam. Our goal is to clear Islam of the unfounded accusations and allegations made against Islam around the status and around the treatment of women. Islam was that just and fair system that awarded the woman the rights to inherit and declared her a rightful heir of the estate. The biblical attitude, on the other hand, has been described by Rabbi Epstein. Rabbi Epstein, either a senior Jewish scholar, rabbi, who resides in the United States, or a second authority in the Jewish religion who resides in the UK. They have explained the biblical attitude with regards to the inheritance of women in their religion. He writes, the continuous and unbroken tradition since the biblical days gives the female members of the household, wife and daughters, no right of succession to the family estate. And the Quran, on the other hand, the Quran declares with regards to the right that a woman enjoys when it comes to the estate of the deceased, لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for men, there is a share in what their parents and close relatives leave. وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. And for women, there is a share in what their parents and their close relatives leave behind. Allah states, مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرْ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. Whether it is a little that they leave behind, she has a right in the little that they leave behind. Or whether it is much that they leave behind, she still has a right to inherit from whatever was left behind, a right that was legislated in the Quran and awarded to her by Allah. The Quran has celebrated and paid tribute to certain women as role models for the believers. Allahu Akbar. The Quran further elevates a woman in Islam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the entire ummah regarding the position of certain women that have passed in our history, and the Quran has called upon us to regard them and to consider them and to take them as role models. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Tahrim, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah sets forth an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a role model. In the form of who? In the form of the queen of Egypt, the wife of Fir'aun, by the name of Asiya bint Muzahim. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also spoke highly of her and described her as a role model for the ummah and for the believers. A second role model, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes her in the Quran, وَمَرْيَمَ بْنَتَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْصَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا. There is also the example, there is also the role model for you, O believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in who? In Maryam, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity. Allah addresses the men and the women of this ummah that should you seek a role model in chastity, in haya, haya and chastity, modesty, bashfulness is the hallmark of a believer. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said and described haya, chastity, as part of one's iman. The two are inseparable. When iman is firmly established in the heart, then the natural outcome of that iman is the observance of chastity, haya and modesty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has produced an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a role model in the Quran in the form of Maryam, the daughter of Imran. وَمَرْيَمْ أَبْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْصَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا. So the Quran has elevated the woman to the point where the Quran has declared her a role model for others. Someone to look up to, someone to take lesson from, someone to view as a role model and as an example to lead one's life. Respected elders and dear brothers, over the past 2 years, Gaza has produced a number of female role models for the ummah. Every one of those women, every one of them is a role model for the ummah. The women of Gaza are beacons of inspiration for the global Muslim community. I recently read an article which stated that on the 7th of October or the 8th of October, when the genocide had started, there were approximately 50,000 women who were pregnant and who were about to give birth. Have we ever thought of what condition and what state and what circumstances they delivered their children? Wallahi, the women of Gaza, they have showcased remarkable courage. They have showcased and they have taught us resilience, determination and gratitude. They have taught us gratitude in the face of unprecedented suffering, in the face of brutality, in the face of loss, in the midst of misery. They have taught us gratitude. They have taught us resilience. There are so many stories that deserve our attention regarding the women of Gaza and their experience and the difficulty with which they have faced the genocide in that part of the region. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate their sufferings. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke about the fragility and the gentleness of a woman, he described her to a glass. That is how fragile she is. On one occasion, a certain sahabi, he was driving the animal on which was the pavilion of the women. The women, when they would travel far distances, then they were made to sit in a pavilion. It's called a hawdaj. a carriage which is placed on the back of the camel. So a few of them would sit in this carriage or in this pavilion. And on one occasion, a particular Sahabi who was driving that animal at a fast speed and at a high pace. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed this, and what did he say? Rifqam bil qawarir, take it easy, you are carrying jars of glass. Were they shown any compassion during the 2 years of the genocide? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of their gentleness, their fragility. We can only imagine what suffering they had endured. Today I would like to speak about one such story of a woman in Gaza. Many of us are quite familiar with her story, Dr. Ala al-Najjar. Dr. Ala al-Najjar, she was married to a man, another doctor by the name Hamidi Yahya al-Najjar. The two of them were married for a period of 13 years, and through those 13 years, or during those 13 years, she gave birth to 10 children. Every year, she gave birth to a child. While engaged in her profession and while attending to her responsibilities, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the menfolk of the ummah when choosing a wife, he says, "Tazawwajul wadud al-walud," get married to the one who will give you a lot of love and who will give you a lot of children. May Allah bless us all with healthy, pious offspring. So they were married for 13 years. The eldest was 12 years old. That's how young he was. And the youngest was approximately 6 months. So the 6-month-old baby and perhaps the 1-year-old baby, the two of them were born during the genocide. On Friday, the day of Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best day for this unfortunate event to take place. The 23rd of May, Dr. Ala al-Najjar, she was dropped off at the hospital in the early part of the morning by her husband. And the husband, Dr. Hamidi Yahya, he returned home to attend to the children. While attending to the children that morning, their home was struck by an Israeli missile. Dr. Ala, she lost her husband, Hamidi al-Najjar, and 9 of their children were killed in that single strike. The bodies of her children arrived at the hospital where she was treating other children in the pediatric ward. She was a pediatric specialist. Allah chose her for this test. Allah chose to test her the way He tested Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam, a great Nabi of Allah. He had 14 children. 7 boys, 7 girls, perfectly balanced. All strong, healthy, young children. One natural disaster wiped them all out. It was a test from Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inna Allah idha ahabba qawman ibtalahum, faman radiya falahu rida, wa man sakhita falahu sukht." When Allah loves you, Allah tests you. Those who were tested the most were the anbiya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, "Ashaddu an-nas ibtala'an al-anbiya thumma lamthal falamthal." Those who will experience the greatest tests in life are the prophets of Allah. And then those who follow, those who are closest you are to Nabi, in your iman, in your relationship with Allah, the greater the test. Why? Because the greater the test, the louder your iman will shine forth. Allah wants that pure iman, that bright, beautiful, wonderful iman. Allah wants it to flourish. Allah wants it to shine. Allah wants it to be shown to the world. No one knew of her. No one knew of the relationship she enjoys with Allah. No one knew she existed. But today, we are speaking about her as a role model for the Ummah. Had it not been for the test, she would not have been elevated to this level of a role model. She is given the title, Dr. Ala al-Najjar. She is given the title of Khansa'u Ghazza. The Khansa of Ghazza. Who is Khansa? Another great woman, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was a very well seasoned poet in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even before that. Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha, when the battle of Qadisiyah was about to take place, the battle of Qadisiyah was the battle that was fought against the Persian Empire. So she exhorted four of her sons. She had four sons. And she addressed every one of them. She said, قَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنَ الثَّوَابِ الْجَزِيرِ فِي حَرْبِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Listen, my sons, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who fight against the enemy, Allah has promised them great rewards in Al-Akhirah. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ الدَّارَ الْبَاقِيَةِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدَّارَ الْفَانِيَةِ. Where is the woman of this ummah who gives this advice to her son? That listen, don't exert yourself, don't tire yourself, don't exhaust yourself over this dunya, because this is something temporary. Rather, attach yourself, exert yourself, and strive towards the everlasting life of Akhirah. This is the advice she gave them. Here's the opportunity, my sons. Here is the opportunity for you to earn that Akhirah. And she exhorted them and encouraged them. And she said to them, reciting the verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa attaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. O believers, patiently endure, persevere, stand on guard, be mindful of Allah, so you may be successful. The battle takes place, the Muslims are victorious. She loses all four of her sons, all four of them. And what was her reaction when the army returned and they informed her, all four of your sons were crowned with martyrdom? She says, Alhamdulillah alladhi sharrafani biqatlihim. I thank Allah who has honored me through their martyrdom. I am a mother of a martyr. How many of those women in Gaza gave birth to a martyr? How many of them became martyrs? How many of them are husbands, are wives of martyrs? How many of them are the mothers of martyrs? Dr. Ala al-Najjar loses 9 of her children. One single strike. She becomes a mother of 9 martyrs. She becomes the widow of a martyr. Her husband also passes away. May Allah have mercy upon them. One of her friends, she describes Ala al-Najjar. It was very difficult to get an interview with her. You will notice, whatever images you might have seen on her, those were not her images. Those were AI-generated images. Artificial intelligence images that were generated of her. Why? Because she strictly adhered to her hijab and to her niqab. She did not allow any picture of her to be taken. She did not allow any interview of her to be conducted. So it was very difficult for people to get hold of her, to reach out of her, to get her onto the camera. With her niqab, with her hijab, strictly adhering to the modest dress of a Muslimah, she was assisting others and fulfilling the role in society by graduating as a pediatric specialist and serving the community. And at the same time holding on to her values and holding on to the principles of her deen. Her friend describes her and describes the family. She says, Imra'atun wa zawjuha min zamani sahaba. She says, wallah, this woman and her husband, they were a couple that were cut out from the cloth of sahaba. They lived the lives of the sahaba. the head of the pediatric ward, when he described her after she lost her entire family, he says, شُعُورُهَا بَعْدَ وَفَاتِ أُسْرَتِهَا صَعْبًا لِلْغَايَةِ. Look, she is definitely in a very fragile emotional state. لَا يُوجَدْ كَلِمَاتْ يُمْكِنُ وَصْفُ مَا مَرَّتْ بِهِ. He says, I cannot find the words to describe the tragedy that she had encountered. لَكِنْ صَابِرَةً. He says, but she is an embodiment of patience. وَمُحْتَسِبَةً. And she is hoping for the reward that Allah has kept for her in this calamity. And she keeps on reminding us. She keeps on telling us, أَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ أَن يَكُونَ شُفَعَاءَ لِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I make dua to Allah that they will intercede for me on the day of Qiyamah. The response that was given by Hu Khansa, when does a person react this way? When you are already dominated by the Quran, when your life is entrenched in the Quran, then this will be the reaction. Composure, calmness, with the grief, with all the grief. Grief is a natural reaction to an unfavorable circumstance and difficulty that we experience. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself experienced grief. But with the grief there's rida. What is rida? Rida is that at the depth of your being, there is serenity, there's acceptance, there's peace, there's tranquility, there's a reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that rida, that strength, you draw it from your attachment to the Quran. Her sister, she says that when this woman, Dr. Ala al-Najjar, when the news reached her and some of the bodies of her children arrived at the pediatric ward or at the hospital, she immediately donned her hijab and she ran towards the house. When she arrived at the house, her sister by the name of Sahar, a woman by the name of Sahar al-Najjar, she says, I met her, I embraced her, I consoled her, and I said to her, Al-Aulad Rahu Ya Allah, O Allah, your children have departed, you have no children. She responded with a verse of the Quran. In that moment, in that difficult moment, what did she say to her sister? Rather than her sister consoling her, she consoled her sister. And what did she say? Hum ahya inda rabbihim yurzaqoon. They are alive. They are by their Rabb. He is taking care of them. He is feeding them. They had no food in the dunya. At least now they are provided food in the akhirah. The Muslim has a deep, intimate relationship with the Quran. This shows her relationship with the Quran. The Muslimah has conviction in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the Muslim woman, observing her modesty, carrying out the commandments of Allah, upholding the principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for her, the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. And she has confidence and she has full conviction in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her profession, her career does not distract her from her duty towards Allah. She embraces the Quran as a guide that will guide her in her public and her private life. When a Muslim woman embraces the teaching of the Quran and allows the Quran to dominate her life, she will not be affected by the demands of secularism. She will not be affected by the Western culture. She will not be affected by the demands of fashion. She will experience true freedom. When the Muslim woman, the way Allah embraced the Quran, when she embraces the Quran, then she will experience true freedom. They may call it slavery, but wallah, she will experience such freedom that will release her from the shackles of a culture that seeks to reduce her to no more than an object of immorality. Dr. Ala al-Najjar, this great woman, a role model produced through the genocide in Gaza, she and her last surviving child, 11-year-old Adam, they were evacuated from Gaza by the Italian government and they were transported to Italy because the 11-year-old Adam required advanced treatment. So many journalists, as we said, many journalists, many family friends, they tried to interview her, they tried to get her on camera, but due to her strict adherence to hijab and niqab, She refused to come on camera and to give interviews. However, not too long ago, a close friend of hers, he secured the opportunity to privately interview her. And the contents of the interview were shared with a certain scholar who, alhamdulillah, he shared her message with the ummah, which I would like to share with you in the few minutes that remain. One of the questions this person asked her, he says, O Ala al-Najjar, O doctor, kayfa sabarti ya doctora? How did you exercise perseverance? We have not seen this level of perseverance and sabr in the face of such a great loss, 9 of your children. She said, we are human and naturally we experience grief, but Allah gave me the strength and ability to exercise patience because we already established a strong bond with Allah. And then she mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'arraf ilallahi fi al-rakha, ya'rifka fi shidda. Get to know Allah during your days of prosperity when things are going good for you in your life and everything is smooth sailing and you are in prosperity and happiness. Do not forget Allah. Get to know Allah in your days of prosperity. Allah will never forget you in your days of adversity. First piece of advice. And then she said, I immediately thought of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It immediately came to my mind. Again, she established a connection with deen and Quran and sunnah and hadith. And when she needed it most, it naturally came to the fore. And it naturally surfaced. And it was there to guide her through the most difficult test in her life. She said, I thought of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is such a great hadith that inspires hope and inspires a sense of peace and tranquility for every parent who loses a child. When a child passes away and the malaika return to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them, قَبَضْتُمْ وَلَبَ عَبْدِي, you took away the child of my slave. فَيَقُولُونَ نَعَمْ, yes, O Allah, it was your instruction. قَبَضْتُمْ ثَمْرَةَ فُؤَادِي, you seized and you snatched away the fruit of his heart, that which was so close to him. So they'll say, yes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, how did he respond? How did he react? What did she say? What did the mother say? What did the father say when they lost their child? فَيَقُولُونَ حَمَدَكْ وَاسْتَرْجَعُ, they praised you. They thanked you. He thanked you, the mother thanked you and praised you. Oh Allah, belong to you. You allowed me to benefit from him, to benefit from the child for a limited period of time. I thank you for that. And the parent says, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah says to the angels, إِبْنُوا لِعَبْدِي بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَسَمُّوهُ بَيْتَ الْحَمْدِ, build a palace for that parent in Jannah and call that palace the palace of praise because he praised me in the face of adversity. She says, I thought about this. The other thing she mentioned, she says, تُوُفِّيَ أَبْنَاءِ صَالِحِينَ, all of them passed away while they were righteous children. I am convinced that they are guaranteed entry into paradise. That brings joy to me to know that they are guaranteed entry into paradise. And subhanAllah, all of them, or the bigger children, were all hafiz of Quran. And she says about Adam, the one who survived, the eldest was a son by the name of Yahya. He was 12 years old. He was also a hafiz of the Quran. She says about Adam that Adam memorized the Quran by the age of 7. The person interviewing her was surprised. How at the age of 7? At what age did he start? No, he started at the age of 5. It took him 2 years. Over 2 years he memorized the Quran. And all of them were memorizing the Quran. A few of them were already hafiz of the Quran. By the age of 8, by the age of 9, they were already hafiz of the Quran. But she said, I sacrificed a lot of my time and dedication to connect them to the Quran. And that is the primary role of the Muslim woman. Today, or this month, when South Africa is commemorating Women's Month, how do we commemorate the woman in Islam? How do we celebrate the women in Islam? She is celebrated through her attachment to the deen of Allah and attaching her children to the deen of Allah. So this was her primary concern. While being a specialist pediatric doctor, she did not abandon her duty towards her children and towards the primary duty of introducing them to Allah. And there's no better way to introduce them to Allah than introducing them to the kalam of Allah, the Quran. And she speaks about that morning, and I'll conclude with this. She says, I have two shifts. And that Friday morning, I was at the hospital where I was practicing. And she says, I had my mushaf with me. I had my Quran with me. She was a woman of Quran. She loved the Quran, and the Quran came to her aid when she needed the Quran most. She said, I just started my morning adhkar while attending to the patients and doing my rounds in the ward. I was engaged in my morning dhikr and morning du'as. I commenced the recitation of Suratul Kahf because it was a Friday morning. And as I commenced the recitation of Suratul Kahf, that is when the news reached me of the murder of my children and my family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless her. And may Allah grant her the full reward of the sacrifice that she had endured. The important thing for us, they are upholding deen in the face of adversity, struggle, starvation, famine, and difficulty. While we are living in ease. And we ask Allah to keep this with us, prosperity and afiyah, but it's so much more easier for us as women, as men, as youth of this ummah, to connect ourselves to the Quran and to connect ourselves to those actions which are pleasing to Allah. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.